How can you keep from worry and fear when the storm is raging around you? When you've used all your energy and exhausted all your resources, how can you keep a calm and quiet spirit? The answer is simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not on the trial. Don't worry. Everything will work out all right. Have you ever had someone say that to you when you were in deep distress? If so, you know how totally useless such counsel is. To say, "don't worry," to a person in distress is like saying, "don't hurt," to a person with a physical injury. But on the other hand, worry accomplishes no good purpose. It cannot solve a problem, heal an injury, restore a broken relationship, secure forgiveness for an offense, renew strength to the weak, increase ability to the limited, or remove the issue which brought the worry in the first place. Please think with me as I share with you some thoughts about the uselessness of worry. God is concerned about the thoughts that fill your mind. He would have you think thoughts that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, and praiseworthy. He would fill your mind with thoughts of peace. Nowhere in this list from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, can you find the idea that God is pleased when you worry. On the contrary, he says, "I would have you free from cares and all anxieties. I don't want you to worry." In his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us not to worry about where we will get food, clothing, or shelter. He said for us to trust God, our Heavenly Father, rather than to worry. Now, our Father is committed to give us all we need. He wants us to be free from anxious care. Notice this. Most things we worry about do not happen. If you doubt that statement, I challenge you to keep a record of your worries and your experiences. Our minds can be filled with so many threatening possibilities that we have no rest of spirit. We worry if a certain thing might happen and worry if some other thing might not happen. Some people worry if things are going well because they have nothing to worry about then. But if each person kept a record of the subject of his worries, he would discover that most of the things he worries about never happen. Anticipation of a bad thing which we worry about is actually worse than the experience when and if it occurs. In desperation, one asks, "What will I do if?" Or, "How can I manage if?" Now, if the dreaded thing comes, one finds the strength in the Lord to deal with it. And he comes through the experience profited because he has learned the better how to handle trouble. When it is all over, he probably says, "That was not so bad. Somehow I got through it. I did not realize that I could do it until I had to. And now I find that I can." You see, there is an inner reserve of strength which we do not realize we have. I remember a man being caught under an automobile as a result of an accident. A member of his family ran to the car and lifted the car by himself while another person pulled the trapped man from under the vehicle. Now, ordinarily, a man cannot pick up an automobile, but he did it in that emergency, and you will find that you have that extra reserve also. So please, do not waste your energy and mar your health by worrying about what might be. The anticipation is worse than the experience. If the dreaded thing does happen and is as severe as you fear it may be, God will still give you the strength to bear it. I have just spoken of the inner resource of strength which you can find when trials come in life. But understand, however, that more is involved here than mere human strength. Our inner strength is the gift of God's grace. He made our human constitution capable of bearing unbelievable burdens. But his promise in Holy Scripture is particularly encouraging. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 reads, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Think about that. God knows every trial you face. He knows its severity and your ability. He limits the trial so it will not be greater than your ability to bear. It will not overwhelm you. He provides a way to escape the testing so that you will be able to endure it and overcome it. Think about that. Now that is God's personal promise to you. He loves you so much, He will not leave you alone in your trials. Like Jesus came walking on the water in the darkness of the night to rescue His storm-tossed disciples, so He comes to you and speaks to you as He did to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." You can have freedom from mindless fears if you believe Him. How can you keep from worry and fear when the storm is raging around you? When you have used all your energy and exhausted all your resources, how can you have a calm and quiet spirit? Well, the answer is simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the trial. When Jesus' disciples were caught in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, it was so severe that even seasoned sailors feared for their lives. Jesus came to them walking on the water in the midst of the storm and spoke words of assurance to them. Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it is really you, let me come to you on the water." Jesus invited him to come. Peter got out of the boat and began walking to Jesus, actually walking on the waters while the storm raged about him. He made progress toward Jesus sufficient that he got away from the boat in which they were sailing, and then he took his eyes off Jesus. He looked at how high the waves were and remembered how hard the wind was blowing. Immediately, he began to sink. He did fine so long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, but he began to sink the moment he looked at the storm. I encourage you to read that account in Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 28. Have you had an experience like that? Have you been in a storm of trial so great there seemed no way out? Have you lost all hope only to be encouraged by the presence of the Lord with you? Have you looked at Him and found relief even while the storm still raged? But on the other hand, have you, like Simon Peter, taken the great step of faith in Jesus only to falter because of the greatness of the storm surrounding? If so, you know what it's like to begin to sink. Do like Simon Peter. Cry out to Jesus for help. "Lord, save me." He will. Just as Jesus put forth His hand and rescued Peter, He will rescue you. Jesus is greater than any problem you have. He is present to rescue you in the midst of your trial. The storm around you is just an opportunity for Him to show His power and personal care over you. Trust Him in every distress. Don't worry. Trust Him. He who has given us the promise is faithful. Oh, Father, our hearts are convicted that sometimes in the midst of our emergencies, our attention turns to ourself, our circumstances, and our resources, and we forget to look to You. Forgive us. Bring to mind once and again in the midst of life's trials that we belong to You and You are committed to us. And so we offer ourselves as Your dear believing children to trust You in the midst of all our storms. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.